is the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. And now, it's Max Trujillo and Matthew Weiss.
All right, welcome back. We are here again. I'm going to destroy your name with Nate Garriantes. That's not
great.
Even close.
No, it's great.
Close.
It's great.
So how did you say it?
I say Garriantes, but I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I think it's Garriantes.
How you say it. I mean, that's how it is, right? And yeah. So,
but
yeah.
This is our second episode. If you're listening now, we also had our first episode this week where we were featuring Nate's, the new Nanas that Nate will be running. And so today in this episode, we're going to discuss some current topics, things that are happening in the news in the culinary world. And what comes to mind, Matt? What are we thinking?
So, on, I think it was Sunday or Saturday, one of the most prominent chefs who you discussed before announced her sobriety or her venture in sobriety, Ashley Christensen. And, you know, Max and I were just thinking about this, and we've discussed this with a lot of chefs. It's pretty unfortunately prominent in the restaurant world. And I wonder, is it possible as a chef, from your opinion and from your experiences, to be a chef in this world and to be able to handle alcohol responsibly?
I think it's becoming easier to do that. I think the mindset has changed about sobriety and about just the mental well-being of of the person that is running the kitchen in the restaurant.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not even only the person. It's your line cooks and your sous chefs and what you do after work and what you do on your off days, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very pressure oriented business. You know, you start every day, and no matter what, people are going to come through the door, and you're going to have to feed them. You don't have a stack of papers that you just push off to the side of your desk until the next day. So it's very stressful. There's a lot of pressure to perform. And unfortunately, the stigmas of mental health and how you handle and conduct yourself.
Have you had an experience running your kitchens or with yourself, as much as you want to share, where you're dealing with other chefs?
Oh, I've had many, many friends that have fallen to that, to alcoholism and drug addiction. As a means of coping.
Directly related to being in this industry?
Directly being in the industry, also trying to medicate themselves and deal with, you know, their personal lives and their mental health. When you're working 12 to 14 hours a day, it affects your personal life and your home life. So unfortunately, alcohol is very easy.
Is there
medicine to turn to?
And you have it, and it's available, and it's behind the bar, and it's,
right, it's in
the kitchen for whatever,
Have you seen any effective recoveries? Obviously, you're always in recovery, but people who have really come back from alcohol or drug addiction and now are sober, and if so, do you, any steps or consistencies that you'd see that you could help other people who are listening and be like, oh, I struggle with that, or I have friends who struggle with that?
I mean, we have a cook, he's a leader in our kitchen at Mateo, who during the pandemic became sober. And I mean, we knew he was struggling with alcohol addiction for a period of time. And, you know, we just told him we supported him in any way we could. And for me, the best way that I could support him is, you know, try to expose him to some resources that could help and support him. Also, it was very customary for us just to have shift drinks in the kitchen while we were cleaning up at the end of the night. And I just conferred with the staff and I said, hey, I think for Pat's sake, it would be better if we don't do this anymore. He needs our support. So let's just... you know, we'll wait until we go home.
Yeah.
Let's finish out the shift and support this person the best that we can.
It's probably a good idea in general. It's like, it's hard to then be that person that says, let's let's, you know, maintain control. Let's do all these things. And then at the same time, also then saying like, hey, have another one, you know.
But yeah.
I think to your point, you were saying the beginning of this is that it's now become a whole lot more accepted. Like there's not as much pressure. It's not like other cooks or let's say, or other staff members are looking at each other like, come on, Wuss, let's have a beer. It's like that stigmatism of like kind of peer pressure and all that, I think is really kind of going away, which is a beautiful thing. It's like just saying like, yeah, I don't drink. People don't question it as much anymore. It's like, oh, okay, cool. That's what you do.
Absolutely.
As far as resources, so obviously there's always been forever Alcoholics Anonymous. But now, as we've talked, Ben's Friends, which Chef Scott Crawford has supported, and Steve from Indigo Road. Steve Palmer,
there we go.
Yeah, owner of Indigo Road Restaurants have kind of helped found it, and that seems like a really great resource for people who are struggling with addiction and within the restaurant industry. Anything else that you're aware of that you know?
No, but I mean, I reached out to Scott instantly, and he responded immediately.
Oh, that's awesome.
And said, please, this is my cell phone number, please have him call me. And he did, and, you know, Pat is in recovery, but he doesn't drink anymore, and his life is the better for it. So
awesome, very cool.
Yeah.
So for those of you out there with looking for resources, there's help for you. Just know that. Kind of a segue, but and you might not know anything about this. However, apparently, this segues into our next topic. But Max, you introduced me to a term that I haven't previously heard called California sober. So care to explain what that is?
Elizabeth's smiling over there. It's funny. It's funny. Haha. It's funny. Weird that there are a lot of friends I have in this world that are California sober. Which, are you familiar with this term? It's you don't drink alcohol, you don't do drugs, but you smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And it's a slippery slope, I guess. But also, if that's your one vice, and that's good for you. Everything is just, if it works for you, then that's good. But that is a pretty prevalent alternative for those that struggle in addiction. If you listen to any recovering doctor, they'll not advise that. And they'll say, no, you're still abusing a drug and you're not being sober. But again, if these are just choices and decisions you make in your own life and this is helping you, you know, then I guess you're doing what you can do to make your life better. But, you know, probably like coming to work every day high. I mean, back in the day, that was pretty much for 5.5 years of my life working at Wolfgang Puck. Sorry, Wolf, but I could count on two hands the amount of times I wasn't high at work. That was, you know, but you get over it. I don't know. That's what happened to me.
Is the logic behind it that it's something natural, it's not synthetic, it comes from the ground, and that they say that, I guess, at least chemically, THC is not addictive?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think what the addictive part is the personality aspect of it, or everything is a shield. Everything is something that protects you. And I think a lot of times when people get high all the time, they're protecting themselves by not revealing their true personality, or they're hiding and stifling things about who they are. And being high is a great way to do that. So is it chemically not addictive? Who knows? But is it also just being like, Elizabeth's saying no to me in this. That's just... It makes you more of yourself. Okay, well, that is a thought.
I will say for Pro THC, and Chef, please weigh in on this, but like, I know people who graduated college summa cum laude from his prestigious universities that would literally rip bong hits every single night. Mm-hmm. And also
take Adderall throughout every study session.
Maybe that's true. Part I can't speak to. But people that are super productive on being "quote unquote high" or using THC. So I don't know. Do you have a the reason we're getting into this actually, and you can weigh in on whatever side of this that you want, is cannabis drinks, and that and actually Triangle a wine company sells these cannabis drinks. That there's a different a Delta 80, I think, a different
Delta 8,
a different chain, mm-hmm. which that'll bring up the question if you as a restaurant owner will carry them as well. But so much so that they're affecting the industry that large wholesalers or distributors or beer makers are considering putting efforts and monies towards making cannabis drinks. So where do you stand on these cannabis drinks? Have you tried one? Where do you stand on the whole THC thing?
I've not tried a cannabis drink.
Okay.
I don't think they would fit the concept at Nana's.
I mean, more personal life or restful life. Yeah,
I mean, you don't know Nana.
You don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, weighing in on THC, I mean, doctors prescribe THC as a medicine. I don't think there's a doctor that's prescribed bourbon as something.
Well, not since the since Prohibition.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an elixir. Yeah.
I think their marijuana has properties that are very beneficial to people that are experiencing high stress and anxiety. And in my opinion, it is 1,000% less harmful than alcohol.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I'd agree.
All
except
right.
for smoking weed and drinking at the same time tends to not be the best thing to do.
Yeah, that's probably where it becomes dangerous.
Like one or the other, yeah.
But if you were going to go home after a 14-hour shift and you are just stressed and feeling anxious and you need to calm down and relax and unwind, I think, you know, using THC is a lot better for you or healthier habit than drinking a fifth of bourbon at the end of the night.
No doubt.
So the
one thing that, and don't get me wrong, guys, I love weed, but, marijuana is getting to this next level of like, it's such an American thing to do, right? Like whatever we like, we're going to try to make it 10 times or 40 times more potent or whatever it was. It's like the weed that our grandparents smoked in the 60s is not the weed that's being smoked today. And it's not even being smoked today because now you can vape it. Now you can eat it. Now you can whatever,
drink it.
And so because it's like, I can't get the drug in me fast enough, or it's not as much as I want. It's like, oh, Americans, like it's like, you know, this pizza didn't taste good enough. I need to make this pizza taste better. It's like, no, pizza was always fine. Marijuana was always fine. But now it's to that next level where this is my only caveat to marijuana now is that are we pushing the boundaries of what marijuana is so far that then someone that consumes habitually or in mass doses at a time could be too much to be like in Elizabeth shaking her head. No, as a confirmed smoker. But, I mean, like what was it like? I just watched, you know, what now everybody's like, all their articles are coming from TikTok, but like, it was the one girl. She said that like she OD'd on marijuana because she had like, you know, however it was, like 1,000 grams, like in a day, like it was a crazy amount. And now today, like she has like severe memory loss and severe, like she can't drive at night because she can't see properly. And like, she's affected. That was her point. And like, I don't know if that's just anecdotal. Maybe she also did some other things and doesn't want to admit to it. But is weed getting too intense?
Well, that has nothing to do with some idiot doing over 1,000 milligrams in one day. You're just dumb.
But that's,
I mean,
that's what
if you
are
do
trying
anything,
to do.
If you eat 1,000 cheeseburgers in a day, you're gonna feel pretty fucking sick.
True.
So, but it's not so much of a referendum. I don't want this to be so much of a referendum on THC use as more back to the whole idea of the cannabis drinks.
Mm.
And so, are you seeing that at all? Are you seeing a request for them at all, like specifically at Crafton? And would you ever consider putting them on the in the list with whether that be a canned drink or as a in a cocktail some way?
Well, I don't think I've heard about people asking for the drink yet because it's not legal, and I don't
know.
It
is the
Delta 8 is
version is legal, and apparently it's, and maybe Elizabeth, but it's as potent.
Friends at Bopper Flop did an entire episode and listened to it, find it, it's really funny, but they had a Delta 8 sponsor on their podcast, and so to kick off their sponsorship they smoked like 3 joints of Delta 8, had like 4 gummies, like they OD'd on Delta 8, and that was the stupidest podcast I've ever heard, and I love you guys because you're really funny, but they were really high, and they were acting like idiots the whole time, and I even asked them, I'm like, you were just playing it up for the microphones, where he was like, no, we were fucked up, we were really fucked up. So I definitely don't doubt that Delta 8 can really work and can get you messed up. I mean, I'm open to, for creativity's sake on the bar side, the beverage side, of course. Why wouldn't we?
Has any vendor presented you?
No, we haven't gotten to that yet. But you could be the first one, Matt, when Winebus starts selling it.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
I mean, but why not? You know, Circle K actually has now become the first national brand that officially sells marijuana cigarettes, left-handed cigarettes, in their stores in Florida, because like that's the first place where now they're able to do that. So, like, it's definitely becoming bigger and easier.
A viable, legitimate business.
And I was, last time I was in California, I imbibed on, a six-pack of those cannabis drinks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've had them, not all at one time. I wouldn't advise that. But I did have one
I think has more than enough if you would do an edible.
Yeah, well, and I was the idiot that had done an edible and then had the can. And then I remember just laughing uncontrollably for the next 30, 40 minutes or so. So it worked.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. So yeah, why not? Sure. Let's bring them on.
Yeah. Cool.
Is that all we got?
I mean,
we're just talking drugs the whole episode?
I think we're good. There's another thing that's kind of going on, but we'll save it for a more prevalent episode.
Oh, really? You're going to leave me hanging?
Yeah.
High and dry?
You'll have to tune into next week's episode.
So this was all about drugs. Jeez, man.
Drugs and alcohol. Well, it's a very prevalent conversation in our industry.
I love how we started the episode about sobriety and trying to maintain. And at the end, we're like, how can we get more drugs into the bar, into however? So everybody,
if you're California sober, you could drink these drinks.
Well, my own personal message is, take from it what you will. Don't be influenced by anybody that's telling you what to do or drive, overdrink, oversmoke. Be you, be yourself, and know that stigma of what you want to do in this industry should not continue. That it's cool to say no to drugs, and you shouldn't push too hard. But I think we're now at that place where we could do that, and so enjoy your sobriety, but also enjoy a joint if you want to, and enjoy a beer, but all in moderation. That's my speech.
Thank you, Max. Mayoral candidate, Max Trujillo.
Yeah. Max, 2024.
You could write them in, people, if you want, on this one. Again, Chef Nate, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Like I said before, go out to Mateo's until he goes to Nana's, and you will eat and drink extremely rarely.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B Podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.